Visiting today with Dr. Amy Hagerman, OSU's Extension. Well, today we're talking about ag policy, and even though it's 2 years away, Farm Bill still top of mind.
Oh, absolutely. This is the time to engage and to start talking about the issues and what worked and what didn't work in the Farm Bill that started in 2018, right? It passed in 2018. 2019 to 2023, we're going to actually be implementing those programs. But by 2023, we should be passing a new Farm Bill. And so it's time to engage and time to start having conversations about what worked and what didn't work out of the last one.
Well, you mentioned right now, like you said, is the moment to start talking about. When you say start talking about it, what do you mean?
So we're talking about listening sessions, engaging with producer organizations, engaging with your legislators, and in talking about the things that have affected you most and how things have changed in terms of markets, in terms of your operation over the last few years, and how that affects those Farm Bill programs as we start the conversation. So when we're talking about starting the conversations, we're talking about really local level, grassroots engagement conversations that will eventually, over the course of the next few years, make their way all the way up to those closed door conversations happening in Washington, D.C.
So like going to your legislators, going to your Farm Bureau meetings, going and talking to your fellow ranchers, things like that, and deciding what the topics are that are super important.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So what are the critical things for us in agriculture? And how can we bring those, how can we elevate those to a level of importance that they cut through all the other noise that's out there in discussion? And there's a recognition that these are important issues.
Absolutely. Well, you talked about empowering yourself as well. And I know that getting out and getting the information, but I think sometimes it's people don't even know what a lot of the Farm Bill is or how it started or what it means to them. So maybe also doing a little detective work.
Absolutely. The Farm Bill is massive. It covers a lot of ground. It covers everything from your individual farm level, from conservation, from crop insurance, all the way moving up through that supply chain to we're talking about trade promotion in other countries. We're talking about nutrition. We're talking about incentives for farmers markets and healthier eating. We're talking about school lunch programs. 4-H funding, extension funding, research funding, that's all in the Farm Bill. Livestock is going to be a big topic on the Farm Bill this time around, and we do have a lot of livestock programs that are in the Farm Bill. So if you've used an emergency program after that deep freeze, for example, or after the ice back in October, those are Farm Bill programs. Those are all in there. There is only so much pie to go around in the Farm Bill. So knowing those priorities, knowing what's important, helps those legislators divvy up that pie and figure out what needs to be expanded and what can be simplified.
Because I'm guessing not every aspect of the Farm Bill is going to be important to every specific producer, but you can certainly find pieces that you need to be involved in.
Yeah, that's really one of the big challenges of the Farm Bill conversations, because you have so many groups that are engaged and everybody's got different priorities. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges our legislators face in trying to pass a Farm Bill, is trying to engage all those different elements. But the critical thing is that we need to be at the table. So if it's an issue that's important to you, get at the table, get in the conversation, because if you're not bringing your issue forward for consideration, somebody else is.
Absolutely. Well, when we look at the new Farm Bill and think about like what worked and what didn't, what comes up the most?
So the last few years, it's been disaster programs. I really feel like that's going to be one of the big conversations, or disaster programs. And we're not just talking about natural disasters here, although we have seen the wildfire hurricane indemnity program, WIP and WIP Plus, that covered drought and flooding events, that was expanded from its initial task of wildfires and hurricanes, as the title says. But now it covers drought, it covers deep freeze, it covers so much more. And we have seen proposals to expand it further, as you guys have covered. So I think disaster programs is going to be one big thing, but also these not your typical disaster kind of programs. So we've had the market facilitation program. We've had the coronavirus food assistance programs. These have been disasters in their own right for markets, and they have required this ad hoc money. So how do we adjust or expand our existing programs to account for these kinds of events? Or do we keep them the way they are and we continue to depend on ad hoc money for when these kinds of events do happen? What we like to call black swan events, unusual events, although it's kind of hard to call them unusual given the last few years' numbers of unusual events. You know, I think that another area is going to be conservation, mm-hmm. conservation, carbon markets, climate change. We're going to see a lot of conversations about this leading up into the Farm Bill. How much of it actually makes it into the Farm Bill? Completely unknown at this point. But I do think it will be part of the conversation going forward. And I think especially for conservation programs, mm-hmm. we've used a lot of those here in Oklahoma to help producers with wind erosion, water erosion. Those are important programs for us. And so that's part of the conversation that I think we need to engage in going forward. I think livestock's going to be an important topic mm-hmm. for this next Farm Bill. Thinking about markets, thinking about competitiveness, honestly, thinking about disaster programs mm-hmm. for livestock producers. Right. Livestock producers have faced a lot of weather mm-hmm. and non-weather related challenges in recent years. Promotion programs for smaller direct marketing, mm-hmm. I think, for livestock producers are going to be important too. So those are just some of the topics that come to the top of my head when I start thinking about where people can engage.
Well, and you mentioned earlier, like when you were speaking, you know, Oklahoma's a landlocked state, but we have so many natural disasters.
We do. We're one of the top disaster-prone landlocked states. Mm-hmm. In terms of billion-dollar disasters, pretty much every year we have at least one or $2 billion disasters.
Yeah.
So these disaster programs are really important mm-hmm. to us here in the state. We're talking about like the livestock indemnity program. We're talking about emergency conservation program, tree assistance program for our pecan producers and our mm-hmm. bush crop producers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about our crop insurance products. Are they working for the kinds of losses mm-hmm. that we're experiencing here in the state? And this is too where I think we got to talk about mitigation, incentives for the kinds of mitigation practices and support for research mm-hmm. for mitigation practices that will work well here in our state of Oklahoma, not just in some of the other big crop producing states.
Well, you said now it's time to be at the table, so everybody should go out and get involved and at least find what piece of the pie that you want to tackle first.
Yep, absolutely. Get your voice heard. Talk to some people. Get involved in these organizations that have a voice in Washington, D.C. We should never feel like we are weakened or that we're not empowered because we're only one voice. We can get together with other people to bring these issues forward and to kind of bring that voice forward. So get engaged, empower yourself. Get those issues in front of the people who can make change happen.
Dr. Hagerman, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.